Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Chai FM, to Soul to Soul. It's great to be with you. And I thought I would share, we talk about the sages and learning teachings from some of our great sages and who they were. There is in our modern day a person who I regard as a sage, Chief Rabbi Lau, who was one of the great Jews of our time. He was the Chief Rabbi of Israel, is now the Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv. And his son is the Chief Rabbi of Israel. Rabbi Lau was a Holocaust survivor. And as we all are aware, there have been ceremonies and commemorations throughout the world on Monday, which was the 27th of January, was the 75th liberation of Auschwitz. And as a result, there have been many ceremonies held all over the land of Israel and throughout the world. And of course, the main one was held at Yad Vashem on Monday. And there were many dignitaries, many world leaders that came to Israel for this purpose, for the ceremony at Yad Vashem. And one of the speakers was Chief Rabbi Lau, and he spoke so powerfully and so beautifully. So you may have heard what he said, but I would like to share it with you because it is worth, very worthwhile sharing and listening to and understanding the message that he had for all humanity. Rabbi Lau said that 25 years ago he was asked to speak at the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Buchenwald death camp. Buchenwald death camp was liberated by the United States Army on April, I think it was April 13th, 1945. And Buchenwald was a death camp in Germany. It was in the city of Weimar. Weimar is a city and Buchenwald is a neighborhood that is over there. Rabbi Lau said, this is what I shared with them 25 years ago. He said, this is my second visit to Buchenwald. My first visit was when I was a 7-year-old boy, and I was here in the camp, and I didn't have a mother, and I didn't have a father. Both of them had been killed, and all I had was my brother, my older brother. And Rabbi Lau said, I didn't even have a name. I was prisoner number 117030. He said, prisoner, I was a 7-year-old boy. What crimes did I commit to be called a prisoner? And I've been asked, can I forgive and can I forget? Well, when it comes to forgiveness, so he said, I don't have the authority to forgive. That has to be given by those that were murdered. And he said, my mother did not give me permission to forgive. My mother gave me, she said, the parting words of my mother to me is that I'm a Jew and that my responsibility is to carry on the chain of transmission of the Jewish people, a chain of tradition and transmission and of observance that takes us back 3,300 years ago to Mount Sinai. He said, my mother's parting words were, you are a Jew, and you are to continue to live as a Jew because the life of a Jew is eternal. And she continued to say that remember that you come from a dynasty of 37 rabbonim. Your father was the 37th rabbi in this rich dynasty, and you will be the 38th in this dynasty of rabbonim and carry on the chain. So Rabbi Lau said, my mother didn't say I could forgive, but she said, I must continue as a proud Jew, as an observant Jew, as a connected Jew. And what about forgetting? And he said, we will never forget. How could we possibly forget? Forget the deprivation, forget the freezing cold, forget the sufferings, the tortures, the murders that took place in front of our eyes. He said, we also won't forget the acts of great courage of the righteous Gentiles that saved lives of many Jews, and myself included. My life was only saved because of righteous Gentiles that saved me. that we will not forget, that we will always remember. Rabbi Lau went on to say that in front of us there are many dignitaries and many leaders from throughout the world. And he said, we're very grateful to all of you for your kind words and for your effort to be here and for your gestures of humanity and commitment to fighting against prejudice, against racism, against anti-Semitism. But he said, I have a message to share with you. And that comes from Bereshis, from the first Sefer, the first book in the Torah. We see right at the beginning of the Torah, there's a flood and God wipes out all of humanity. And the only ones that are saved are Noah and are the animals that go with Noah into the ark. And we see that it's very interesting. They're all different kinds of animals enter into the ark. There are lions and there are leopards and there are snakes, venomous snakes. And together with them, you have your sheep and your cows and your lambs and your doves and your chickens, all in harmony in the ark. So the reason why they were able to live in harmony, they were there for 150 days. The reason why they could survive without attacking each other for 150 days is that they knew if they misbehaved, they knew if they disturbed the peace, so Noah would expel them from the ark. And if they were expelled from the ark, they would not survive. They would drown in the flood. And therefore they had a common goal and they had a common enemy, and that was the flood. And he said, we all as humanity have to live together in peace. And we also have a common enemy. Our common enemy are those enemies of humanity, those things that cause the destruction of humanity, whether it's war, or whether it's nuclear weapons, or whether it's terrorism, or whether it's illness. So there are many issues that we face together as the humankind, and we all need to live together in peace and in harmony and in respect and in ensuring that there's no war. That's our duty and responsibility. So that's the message that Rabbi Lau shared with the leaders, many, many world leaders that were at Yad Vashem on Monday. I think it's a beautiful message in general for humanity and in particular for us as individuals, as firstly we are all as Jews to remember that it's our responsibility to ensure that our legacy continues and that we pass it on to the next generation and that our children become bearers, proud bearers of what it means to be a Jew, of connecting to our Judaism, of being proud Jews, that we ensure that the Jewish people continue and the connection to God continues and our observance of the Torah and mitzvahs continue. That is our duty and responsibility, each and every one of us. We need to make sure that that's the case for ourselves and that's the case for our children. And also to realize that we are all in it together and that we are to treat one another with respect and to conduct ourselves not in an aggressive way that brings fraction and disunity, but in a way of love and of friendship and of embracing each other. And we have common enemies and we have common goals and we must make an effort to build a world of peace. And that world of peace doesn't only mean between nations. It means between us as well, between friends, between families, between communities, between fellow individuals. So that's a beautiful and powerful message that Rabbi Lau shares with all of us, that we all would be smart to listen to and to implement in our lives. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sachstein on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. And we're talking about Holocaust Memorial Day, which was on the 27th of January on Monday. We quoted the powerful words of Rabbi Lau that he shared with the world. I'd like to share with you also a teaching from another great person who lived in our time, who was a Holocaust survivor. Her name is Robertson Esther Jungreis. Robertson Jungreis passed away recently, Aleha Shalom, and she was a very powerful person. She did tremendous work within the Jewish world. She touched many Jewish souls and guided and led many hundreds and thousands back home towards our observance, towards Yiddishkeit, to reconnecting with Torah. And Rabbeinu Jungras, it's a beautiful story that relates to this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we see that Paro says to the Jewish people, once he is broken, once he has been destroyed and his land has been destroyed by God. So he says, "V'yoyim lechu ivdu es Hashem." Paro says, go and serve God. And those are words that should ring in all of our ears. Lechu ivdu es Hashem. Because that really is the battle cry. That really is the credo of the Jewish people. Go and serve Hashem. That's what our mission is in this world. That's why we were created. Rabbi Tanugras tells a story of she had a famous organization called Hineni, and it was known that she gave public lectures which many hundreds would attend. And after one of such talks, a lady came up to her, and the lady said to her, "I have a son, and my son is very gifted. He's a very brilliant boy. So brilliant is he that he was trading on Wall Street, and one of the firms picked it up and offered him a job. And at a very young age, in his teenage years, he was trading, and he got involved in some shady dealings, and he embezzled money, and he got arrested. And because of his young age, the judge said that if there was an organization who would take responsibility for him, a reputable organization, the judge would waive the sentence." And she said, "Would your organization, Hineni, take responsibility for my son?" And Robertson Jungras said, "You know, this is a Jewish soul, a Yiddish neshama. Of course we will. We will make a great effort to take full responsibility for him." And she said, "Let me meet him." And he came to meet her, and he said to her, "If we're going to take this on, if we're going to accept responsibility for you, and therefore your sentence will be waived, so you need to realize, you need to make a few commitments. And one of them being is, commit yourself to develop and grow, reconnect in Yiddishkeit. One of the things I want you to do is to say blessings in the morning. And the first of the morning blessings is a blessing that says, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that blessed are you, God, the King, Master of the Universe. Lahavchin ben yom uben, we make a blessing to Hanoisin Lasechivina, that God gives to the rooster understanding. Lahavchin ben yom uben laila, that He has got a distinction and understanding between day and night. So we bless God who created the rooster, who distinguishes between day and night. That's the first of the morning blessings. Interesting blessing. So this young, brilliant teenager, he frowns quite openly and says, "What are you talking about? We thank God for the rooster." And Rabbeinu Jungras said, "Yes, there are three very important life lessons that we must remember every single day that we learn from the rooster. The first one is that Lahavchin ben yom uvein laila, the rooster distinguishes between day and between night. The rooster has the ability to discern light and darkness, right and wrong, truth and falsehood. A person can be brilliant, can have the most gifted of intellects, but such brilliance can be warped, can be misused. Person can be the greatest physician or great scientist and build gas chambers and crematoriums. It's only through the knowledge of God and through the light of the knowledge of God that we receive, which casts light into the darkness and makes matters clear. And we should always remember that we shouldn't lose our moral compass, no matter how brilliant we may be, no matter how great our achievements are, no matter how exciting our opportunities are, that the rooster teaches us and distinguishes between light and darkness, between good and bad, between truth and falsehood. So that's the first powerful lesson that we learn from the rooster. Secondly, she said, that the rooster crows every morning, rain or shine, summer or winter. The rooster does its job, whether it's in the mood or whether it's not in the mood to do so. And that is true for every single Jew. That we each day, whether that God has blessed us and gifted us with life, whether in illness or in health, whether in poverty or in wealth, whether in Auschwitz or in Jerusalem, we are never to forget that our mission is to serve God and connect to God and bring the light of God and God's morality and God's light into this world. That's our job. Just like the rooster every day, rain or shine, is doing its job, we as Jews also have to do our job. That's lesson number two of the rooster. And lesson number three, that Hashem anoisin lasech vivina, that gives understanding to the rooster, is that the rooster, no matter how dense the darkness is, no matter how thick the night, the rooster knows that the morning will always come. There's always hope, and there's always going to be light at the end of the tunnel, irrespective of where we find ourselves in our lives. And she said, I want to tell you a little story, an anecdote. She said when the Nazis arrived to arrest her family and many others, so they were banging on the doors and they were shouting at everybody to come downstairs. Anybody who resisted them was shot on the spot. And she said that her father, when the Nazis entered, was preoccupied with something. Now, you might think that he was preoccupied with saving some money, some food. He was preoccupied with how he would take his tefillin and how he would smuggle with him, carry with him, the manuscripts of his great-great-grandfather, Menuchas Asher, who was a famous Talmud Chacham. His father wanted to be able to take these things with him and to, in order to preserve them. And the writings also of his great-grandfather, Rav Mordechai Bennett. So you might think his father, you know, knew that the Nazis were taking the Jews to their death. But no, they weren't removing the Jews from their homes in order to relocate them for a better future. He was not foolish. He realized that the end was here. So what use would his tefillin be? What use would these manuscripts be in Auschwitz and in Bergen-Belsen? But he was of the knowledge that this darkness, this terrible, terrible darkness would come to an end and that the morning would arrive. And when the morning arrives, so these manuscripts would be of great value to Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. And that's a similar thing that the Piasetzner Rebbe, he wrote his Sforim in the Warsaw Ghetto. And his Talmudim, his students said to him, Rebbe, what are you, Chovas HaTalmudim, a very famous sefer, said, Rebbe, why are you writing? We're all going to be killed. And he said, but after us will come future generations, and they will benefit from these writings. And that's exactly what happened. And the Piasetzner Rebbe's writings were found and were published, and the writings of Rebbetzin Jungreis's great-great-grandfather were also found. What actually happened was they were in the Warsaw Ghetto, and a Polish boy, after the ghetto was liquidated, was going through the ghetto and found, you know, the package that was storing these manuscripts and saw Hebrew writing. When the Americans came, he showed them to the Americans, and one of the American soldiers knew that his chaplain would be very excited with this, that had Hebrew writing. And he bought it with a chocolate bar. And these manuscripts returned back to America, were published, and are now being learnt by Jews in yeshivas all over the world. So, Lechu Ivdu Es Hashem, the cry of a Jew, the credo of a Jew, the anthem of a Jew, is go and serve Hashem. And so, no matter how much the darkness is, no matter how debilitating and impossible are our circumstances, we know that there will always be a turn, and the morning will come, the dawn will break, and there will be a better future. So those are three really powerful messages that a great woman who was a Holocaust survivor shared with this young man, and they're messages that I think are relevant to all of us, that we should learn from the rooster. Firstly, learn from the rooster to make a distinction between good and bad and between light and darkness throughout our lives. Secondly, that we should do our job as Jews, that no matter what the circumstance and situation, that we are here to bring the light of God into the world, to teach morality to humanity, to live on a higher moral level and observe the Torah and mitzvahs, the mission for which we were created. And finally and lastly, no matter how dark the circumstances are, in our personal lives, in our individual lives, and we all have challenges and difficulties and hardship that we confront in our living, but to remember that the dawn will come and we have to behave in a way where we are investing for the future and where we will, our future self will be proud of the decisions we're making now, even though the circumstances are so trying and so difficult, because the morning will come. The rooster knows that the morning will come. So let's end off on another very important message that I think is very relevant to all of us. And that is, we see, interestingly enough, so the Torah, the parshas that we are dealing with, are actually about Yetzias Mitzrayim, about the coming out of Egypt. So this week we read Parshas Bo. And Parshas Bo deals with the last of the three plagues. And we see the final plague, Makos Bechoris. We see a very interesting phenomenon that takes place. On the one hand, the Pasuk says, V'gam Seder lo asu lahem, that when Klal Yisrael went, Hashem commanded them that it's time to leave. And they got up and they left. And they didn't take any tuna fish sandwiches with them for the way. Because can you imagine getting up? It's men, women, children. It's the little children and old people. And they had no food. How are they going to sustain themselves? How are they going to travel through the desert without having any provisions? So Rashi on that pasuk says, "Vagam seder lo asu lahem," that they didn't have any provisions to take with them. It's Perek Yud Beis pasuk, pasuk lamed tes. If you want to look it up, so Rashi says on that pasuk, "Gam seder lo asu lahem l'derech," they didn't take any provisions for the way. Magid shifchan shel Yisrael. This pasuk has come to tell us the praise of the Jewish people. Shelo amru heyach neitzei lemidbar belo tzeda. They didn't say, how are we going to go out into the desert without any provisions? Ela haaminu vahelchu. Rather, they believed in Hashem and off they went. Hu shemefurish b'kabbalah. And that's what it says, the famous pasuk in Yirmiyah. Zacharti lecha chesed noraych. I remember the kindness of your youth. Ahavta kilosayich, lechtech acharai bamidbar, beretz lozrua. The time of your beloved days, of your bridal days, when you went after me in the desert, in a land where nothing grows, in a place where there's no provisions. So Hashem remembers it. In fact, this is a pasuk that we often quote in Yomim Noraim. We often quote Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because we remind ourselves and we remind Hashem of the heritage of the Jewish people, that there was a time when the Jewish people had such tremendous faith that they went into the desert without any provisions and without any means to support themselves, yet they still had the faith in Hashem. So continues Rashi, Uma schar mefurash acharav, and what was the reward for their faith and trust in Hashem? Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Pasuk then says that the holy ones of the Jewish people are designated to Hashem. The Jewish people are holy and they are Hashem's people. That was the reward for showing such tremendous trust and bitachon in Hashem. But we see something else which is quite interesting. So on the one hand, we see when the Jewish people leave, they had this tremendous faith and trusted in Hashem, went into the desert without any provisions, despite the fact that they were not able to provide for themselves. But on the other hand, we find that they were on a very low level. The Torah tells us that they were mem tes sharei tuma. They were on the 49th level of spiritual impurity. And the pasuk says, mishchu kachu lahem korban pesach, that they should draw out and go and take the korban pesach. We know that one of the things they did is they took the korban pesach and the blood they put on the mashkof, they put it on their doorways. So the Chazal tell us, our sages say, this word mishchu seems to be a bit superfluous in the verse. But they say mishchu, it's a hint to another verse that says mishchu yudeichem min avodah zorah, that you must remove your hands from avodah zorah. And Chazal explained that the angel said to Hashem, eilu avodah zorah, eilu avodah zorah, that the Jewish people also served idols. And the Egyptians served idols. So why should Hashem save the Jewish people in light of the fact that they were on the 49th level of spiritual impurity and also served idols? So we see such a tremendous contrast. And on the one hand, they have incredible faith in Hashem and they enter into the desert without any provisions, without any means to support themselves and their families. But on the other hand, they were over the avodah zorah. They were worshipping idols like the Egyptians. So it seems to be a bit of a contradiction between the level of the Jewish people. It's a very interesting question that arises. And please stay with us. We'll answer the question in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
We asked an interesting question. When the Jewish people left Egypt, on the one hand, we see their tremendous trust in Hashem. They go into the desert where nothing grows, with their families without means of support. On the other hand, it says that they were Oved Avod Zorah, that they worshipped idols, they were Memtesh Sharitum, the 49th level of spiritual impurity. So which one is it? Are they schizophrenic? They've got split personalities, the Jewish people. Sfas Emes says this is not such a strong question. Sfas Emes, the great Hasidic leader, who lived in Poland and who was the second Rebbe of the Gera Hasidim, Sfas Emes says that this reward that Rashi says for going into the desert, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, that the Jewish people are a holy nation to Hashem. So he says that is a reality in every single Jew. That when we're in Galus, when we're in exile, and we're away from Hashem, so we're drawn after all sorts of temptations, what we call taivas, that are around us. And very often we find ourselves enmeshed in the material physical world and chasing after our desires like the rest of society, because there's a very strong flow, there's a flood of materialism that's constantly around us. And unless we're holding on to the Eitz Chaim of Torah, we'll get washed away in that flood. So the Sfas Emes says, but however, it just takes a short realization, a moment of clarity, and every single Jew can come back very quickly. We can break out of what we are called klipus hatuma, the exterior shells of impurity that the physical world entraps us in, but we have the ability to break free and to throw off those shackles when we have a moment of inspiration of spirituality, when we see Hashem, when we connect to Hashem, when we have a moment of clarity of Hashem's presence and Hashem's power. And he actually, the Sfas Emes quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, quotes a verse from the Song of Songs that says, "Mashkeini acharecha v'narutza," which means that I will be drawn after you and then I'll run after you. In other words, we all have the capacity to turn it around in a moment. And that is something that we should always remember and always hold on to. We find, interestingly enough, with the Makos Bechoris, the last of the plagues, plague number 10, that there's a lot more detail about plague 10 than there is about any of the other plagues. That it says that when God says that he'll smite the Egyptian firstborn, and he will jump over the houses of the Jewish people. Pesach means to leap over. So God says, I'll leap over the Jewish homes as long as we have the dam of the Korban Pesach, the blood of the Pesach offering, and we sprinkle that blood on the lintel, on the doorposts of the Jewish homes. So God will skip over those homes. God will, Pesach, will leap over those homes. And that's where the name Pesach comes from. In fact, the festival, the Chag, which is not that far away. Sorry, ladies, it's around the corner. So the Chag of Pesach gets its name from the 10th plague. So we see there seems to be a lot of noise, a lot of fuss made about the Makos Bechoris, which is not about the other plagues. Another important feature of the 10th plague is that it says that God says that when it comes to Makos Bechoris, that it'll be Al Yedei Hashem. It'll be through the hand of Hashem. V'lo Al Yedei Malach, v'lo Al Yedei Saraf. That's what we said in the Haggadah, in the Seder, that it's not through the hands of a messenger, of an emissary that Hashem sends, but rather Hashem himself has to do Makos Bechoris. Why? Why is Makos Bechoris highlighted and it stands out relative to the other plagues? And the answer is because when Hashem killed the firstborn of the Egyptians and not the Jewish people, so that transformed the Jewish people into Kodesh Yisrael LaHashem, that the Jewish people are Hashem's holy nation. It broke the Mitzrim. It broke it because the firstborn were the ones who always ran the society, who were the leaders in Egypt. So they were the elite of Egyptian society. And it made the Jewish firstborn sanctified. And it made the Jewish people sanctified, because when the Jewish people saw that tremendous revelation of Hashem with the 10th plague, so immediately they returned to their pristine state of Kedusha, to their pristine state of holiness. And the foundation and the future, once the foundation and future of Egypt was destroyed, the Jewish people, they needed to have a Gilui Shechina. They needed to have a revelation of God's presence. And with that revelation, which only could come through Hashem, not through a Malach and not through a Saraf, not through a messenger of Hashem, so with that, Yisrael, the Jewish people, come back to themselves. And instantly, the Sfas Emes says, it just takes a moment to get that connection once more. The spark is alive and is burning within every Jew. It's just a matter of igniting that spark. Once that spark is ignited for a moment, so it all makes sense. It all fits into place. And instantly the Jew returns to him and herself and can be the Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, the holy nation that Hashem created us to be. So that means that we have that potential inside. And even though sometimes we wander and sometimes we stray and sometimes we forget about Hashem, but it's there. That essence is part of our DNA, is part of our chelek elokai mima'al. Our soul is a part, a slither of the divine, a part of God, and it's within all of us, and it's accessible to all of us. And when those moments occur, those moments of inspiration, those moments of divine revelation, big and small, whether they're national or whether they're personal, so instantly it all swims into focus, and it makes perfect sense. And those things that we were so caught up in, and those things that we're so connected to and so obsessed with in the material physical world, so suddenly they lose their importance, and we gain perspective and clarity as to who we really are and what we're really doing in this world. You know, maybe one could relate to it. You know, a child, my son loves Lego, and whenever we buy him a Lego set, he gets totally caught up in the Lego, you know, like nothing else exists. The whole world could pass him by. There could be, you know, World War III. He wouldn't notice. He would carry on building his Lego. But as an adult, you know that it's only Lego. It's not, you know, it's not the most important thing in the world. For him, it's important. And of course, it's, you know, a great achievement when he finishes it. But it's just Lego. And so most of what we do is just Lego. And we get so caught up in our careers. We get so caught up in our supporting of sports events. We get so caught up in fashion and in higher society and in all those different aspects that tempt us around us. But when we get that spark of inspiration, we get that moment of clarity from on high, so suddenly we transform ourselves from Memtes Share Tuma with a Gilui Shechina, with a revelation of Hashem, and everything gets perspective once more. And we see the world for what it is, and we see who we are and where we're going. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
We've been talking about how all of us has within us that ends what we call a pintle yid, that spark of the divine. And it just takes a moment, an event, an incident, a situation that can bring those flames alight, ignite that spark that's within, and then things fall into place very quickly. So we should never sell ourselves short. We should never throw in the towel. We should never sell a fellow Jew short. We should always realize that within every single one of us, there is this tremendous capacity to reach out of ourselves, to break through, and to connect with the truth, and to connect with Hashem. So that answers the question we started out with. We asked the question, how could it be that the Jewish people, it seems that their contradictions come from the Torah. On the one hand, they had this tremendous faith. They followed God into the desert without any means of support for themselves and their families. And on the other hand, they, on Memtes Share Tuma, they're worshipping idols. They're right down at the bottom of the barrel. The answer is that yes, they were on Memtes Share Tuma, but with the divine revelation, the Gilui Shechina of Makos Bechoros, of the 10th plague, so they quickly were transformed into the holy nation of Kadosh Yisrael Hashem. The holy nation of the Jewish people are dedicated to Hashem. That is the capacity of each and every one of us, and something that we should always have with us in our pocket, something that we should always remember. How do we do that? Where do these moments of inspiration come? So they come from different sources. They could be different situations and circumstances, different experiences that we may face. They could be a shiur that we hear. They could be a story that we're told. They could be a conversation that we have. They could be, the Rambam says that the primary ways that we connect with God is either through Torah or through nature. Through Torah, because the Torah provides clarity and the Torah connects us to Mount Sinai. And the Torah is God's word. So the more Torah we learn and the more mitzvahs we observe, the more connected we are to Hashem, the more likely we're going to ignite that spark within. And nature also has that tremendous power. I am a person who's very much moved by the African bush veld. And when one's in the bush and one sees the magnificence and the perfection and the diversity of God's creation, so that's very moving and very inspiring. That certainly has the potential, the capacity for gilui shchina, for a understanding of God's power and God's control of life and of this world. So we should all remember and never forget the first siman in Shulchan Aruch, the first chapter of the code of Jewish law, is Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Sami. He's quoting the pasuk, the verse from Psalms, where King David says, Hashem is standing in front of me always. We are always to remember Hashem is near us. Hashem is close. Hashem is here. And whether it's Rabbi Lau, whose mother told him to hold on to the tradition, to ensure that he continues to be an observant Jew and passes it on to the next generation, or whether it's Revis and Jungras, who said we have the three powerful lessons of the rooster, that we should always know the difference between good and bad, light and darkness, that we should always do our job as Jews of serving Hashem. We should always remember that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Or whether it's the Sfas Emes that tells us that that spark is very much alive within all of us. And it's a matter of opening ourselves up to the right experience. Now, sometimes we have that experience, but we ignore it. We turn our backs on it. We soak or have so much tumor around us that we don't allow it to penetrate. But if we do open ourselves up, we all have the capacity to move forward and to change and to grow and to see God's greatness and God's power and to live as a responsible member of Klal Yisrael, contributing to the Jewish people, the purpose for which we were created. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.